One of our traditions here at West End is that for the Sunday after Christmas, instead of having a traditional sermon, I write a story. That's unusual, too. I usually just tell them. But I write a story, and I read that story. So you can celebrate. This is the only sermon you're going to get today. This has to do with what we call nativity scenes or creches. This one is carved out of wood, and it comes from Bethlehem, from the place where Jesus was born. This one is made out of clay and painted and fired, and it's from Peru. So you can see all over the world, people remember the story of Jesus by looking at the different characters, Mary and Joseph and the baby, see, and some of the animals and the shepherds and the wise men. But I'm going to tell you the story of why we do that. And it all has to do with a man who lived in Assisi in Italy. His name was Francis. Francis was worried about Christmas, which in his day and in our day is called the Feast of the Nativity. Now, a nativity is a birth. And this particular nativity was a celebration of Jesus' birth. In Assisi, Francis' hometown, people seemed to have forgotten what the day was all about. As December 25th came closer, they went about their lives just as if nothing special was going to happen. This bothered Francis a lot. You see, there had been a time in Francis' life when the feast day of the Nativity was not special to him or to his family either. In fact, they paid little attention to any holy day. His father was only interested in making money, and Francis just wanted to have a good time. His father bought and sold cloth, from which shirts and pants and dresses and coats and capes and curtains and many other things were made. His father expected Francis to help him in the cloth business, but all young Francis wanted to do was dress in fancy clothes and party with his friends. His neighbors thought he was a charming young man, but that he was lazy and wild. When his city, Assisi, went to war against a nearby town named Perugia, his neighbors were relieved when Francis went as a soldier. During the fighting, he was captured by the soldiers he was fighting against and was in prison for a year. Because he was dressed so nicely and had fancy armor, the Perugians thought that his family was rich and might be willing to pay a lot of money to get this young dandy back home. Sure enough, his family did have lots of money. And they did pay to get Francis back home. But when he returned to Assisi, they noticed that he was no longer the wild partier they remembered. The year that Francis had spent in prison changed his life. Francis was very sick when he came back to his family's home. This was one of the reasons he wasn't interested in partying and the wild life he had lived before the war. Also, during his time away, he began to take his religious faith more seriously. He prayed every day in prison and then as he lay in his bed. And he did his best to listen to God and learn what God wanted him to do with his life. When he felt better, he would go to church and pray. One day, after he returned from praying in the church of San Damiano, he told his family and friends that while he was praying and looking at the cross that hung in the church, he heard the voice of Jesus say to him, "Rebuild my church." Francis knew that Jesus was talking to him. There was no one else there. So he found a church called St. Mary of the Angels that was falling down just outside his hometown and started to build its walls again, all by himself. In addition to his work rebuilding the church building that had fallen down, he became concerned about those who didn't have all the food and clothing and houses they needed. And since his father had lots of cloth, Francis had an idea about the way he could help them. Francis began to give away his father's cloth to poor people who couldn't pay for it. Of course, his father was angry, told him that the cloth was not Francis to give away, and ordered him to stop. Francis asked why his father should have so much cloth when others went without clothing they needed and continued to give to those in need. So his father asked the bishop to talk some sense into his son. The bishop reminded the young man that everything he had was his father's. The cloth he was giving away was his father's. Even the clothes he was wearing on his own body belonged to his father. So Francis took off all of his clothes, handed them to the bishop, and told him, "From now on, I will have no father but God," and walked away wearing nothing at all. Yeah. Well, pretty soon he found some more clothes, though. The young man began to dress in a robe made of rough brown cloth as he worked to do what Jesus had told him to do, as he set out to rebuild the church of St. Mary of the Angels. It wasn't long before a number of other young men began helping him and dressing like him and acting like him. Even a young woman from Assisi named Claire wanted to follow Francis' example and collected a group of young women to follow him as well. Now, not only did Francis help rebuild the church with their help, but as they worked, they listened to what Francis said about God's love for all creatures. He told them that the sun was their brother, that the moon was their sister. He told them that all the animals and plants were their brothers and sisters as well. One of the stories he told to teach them about God's love for all creatures was about how Jesus was born in a place where the animals were kept. As Christmas drew near, it seemed like only Francis and his friends were interested in celebrating the day. "People just don't know the story of Christmas," he said. "They can't imagine what it would be like to actually be there when Jesus was born." So Francis had an idea. He and his friends would find a way to make the night that Jesus was born real for the people of Assisi. He would create a play without words, but with all the characters in costume and real sheep and cows and a donkey, then perhaps people would celebrate this holy day the way they should. Francis portrayed Joseph. His friend Claire was Mary. Other friends took on the roles of the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. They found a farmer who would let them use his stable and animals. Francis even asked his father for some leftover cloth for the costumes. Much to everyone's surprise, every person Francis asked to do something for the play said yes, even his father. A few days before Christmas, they tried out their nativity scene. The first night, there were only a few people who came to see it, but one person told another who told another who told another, and pretty soon the word had spread through the entire town and the countryside. By Christmas Eve that year, large crowds of people came to see Francis and his friends as they portrayed a living picture of what it might have been like on the night that Jesus was born. The nativity scene was so popular that Francis and his friends repeated it every year at Christmas time. After a few years, people began to carve nativity scenes out of olive wood. This is olive wood, from the trees that grew in nearby olive groves. Potters began to make them out of clay. This is one made out of clay. Francis and his friends had created a way of showing the story of Jesus' birth that people wanted to imitate. Other churches around Italy and later around the world began to stage their own nativity scenes. Even today, you can see nativity scenes in the yards of churches, sometimes with real people and sometimes with statues. You may have ridden by some of those churches and seen those. Or inside churches, or on tables or mantles in people's homes. Many people do not know that the scenes of Jesus' birth that decorate their homes and churches to tell the story of Christmas began with a young man named Francis from a town called Assisi and his friends and their desire to help people remember what Christmas was all about and how important Jesus' birth really is. So, in coming years, whenever you see a nativity scene, or what some people call a creche, you'll know the story about how it came to be, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us reminders of your love, of your Son, Jesus Christ, of the way that you've reached out to us, so that you'll know what it feels like to be us, and we'll know a little bit more about what it's like for you. Help us to live out your love as well as we can, following the example you set for us in Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming down.